TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, welcome in. Raised by Wolves after a rough weekend for the Minnesota Timberwolves as they lost back-to-back home games. Andrew Wiggins missing from the team, dealing with some personal issues. Ongoing, he had to go back home for those. So, Wolves sitting now at 7-6, and the really good feelings after a 7-4 start don't seem to be quite as good today as they, by the time you're listening to this, they might be underway against Utah. They could have played Utah. But as we record this, they play Utah tonight in Utah, and then they play Utah here on Wednesday. But a lot of the good feelings, that surrounded this team. I don't know that they're quite as strong after the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. But again, this is something that happens in the NBA. No team's perfect. We're not going to see teams just not go through spurts like this. But the defense has kind of, I don't want to say disappeared lately, but it's not what it was early in the season.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that has to do with Andrew Wiggins not playing in the last couple of games. I mean, really on both ends of the floor, if you think about it. And I'd never, Danny, in a million years going into this season, would have thought Andrew Wiggins would miss a couple of games. And I'd be thinking to myself, God, this team really misses Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, like noticeably misses Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. Because they've got 7 wins, and you can say that they won 4 of those games because of Andrew.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to say that ever in Andrew's career. And credit to him for adjusting and improving his game and really buying in, because that's really shown. But I think the most troubling trend right now doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Andrew, but it's the way they've played against all-star caliber guards.
Yeah.
Because there have been 5 games against all-star caliber guards this year. They've played 4 different ones. Obviously, they've already squared off with Washington twice. That's now done. They won't see Bradley Beal again this year. But he's an all-star guard that they've seen.
Yep.
44 points in one matchup, 30 points in the other matchup. James Harden, MVP, obviously all-star caliber guard, 49 points. Granted, took 41 shots to get there, but 49 points.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, opening night, 50 points.
Yep.
D'Angelo Russell, a couple Sundays ago here, 52 points. In 5 games against all-star caliber guards, Manny, they are allowing those guys to score an average of 45 points per game. That is troubling.
So you're saying Donovan Mitchell's going to drop 45 on them tonight?
He's not an all-star. I understand that there are some people in Utah upset with that statement, but he's not an all-star yet. But that's where this team's at right now. They struggle against good scoring guards.
What do you attribute that to?
I think part of it early in the season, like Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell, the first couple of games, they were doing things differently where they were doing most of their damage off pick and roll, and the Wolves were in a very deep drop scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's being done in different ways. Like James Harden was essentially just isolating guys. And again, he took 41 shots to get his 49 points.
Right.
So that's not exactly the worst defensive night in the world. But Bradley Beal is troubling because I think he scored 44 on 22 shots. That is super efficient.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah, he was 15 of 22, 44 points, 10 assists as well.
Yeah,
he was really helping everybody else score as well. Yeah, that was troubling. I wonder too, you know, I go back to that Washington game. Mo Wagner, man, like,
yeah,
I haven't seen Mo Wagner play that well since with Michigan at the NCAA tournament when they went to the championship.
I don't even know if he
game.
Played that well there.
Right.
I was quickly talking with a scout after that game, and he was in the building at Target Center. I looked at him, I go, do you ever think you'd be here for the Mo Wagner game? He goes, never in a million years. Never did I think that.
Yeah, it was remarkable, and it's crazy to think too, after they had just a week prior had kicked the crap out of Washington
without Towns,
without Cat, and I don't know, man. It's it's the NBA as a whole, right?
Like sure,
that's just where you just sort of you play 82 of these things, and you look good on some nights, and you look bad on other nights, and a lot of times it might be against the same team in both times, and you just...
But I think that this recent stretch really just speaks to how important Andrew Wiggins is.
Yeah.
Which is, again, as we opened up today's podcast saying, I didn't think we'd be saying that ever, but here we are, and it's very true. Andrew Wiggins, while it's And part of this makes me wonder if it's because running this offense through Towns and through someone that can be on the block and get double teamed, and it's easier to force the ball out of a big's hand than it is a guard's hand or a wing's hand. And I wonder if something of that nature has to do with why it's so, why this team looks so much better when Andrew's rolling as opposed to Towns.
Yeah, and also when you factor in, I mean, Andrew, when you look at the, you know, wing players and guards on this team, I mean, Andrew right now is really kind of the only guy that is close to being like a dynamic scorer. He's the only guy that can really get his own shot. He's the only guy that can score from multiple different places on the floor in terms of being able to knock down some three-point shots and being able to get to the rim at will, which is really the best thing he's been able to do this year.
Yeah.
And when you take that away and you're asking, you know, Jared Culver, who ideally down the line can be that type of player, but he's just, he's still a rookie and he's still learning the game. You're asking him to do that more. You know, Jeff Teague can score, but I think there's sort of a ceiling on how much he can actually do in regards to creating his own shot and things. And you take that away with Andrew not playing, I mean, it does make things a lot more difficult to score. And I think they certainly have missed him on the defensive end, too, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it definitely is crazy to think about. It's the right way to put it. And when I'm curious when he gets back, because he's doubtful for tonight's game. So maybe he'll play Wednesday when Utah comes here. But I'm curious if this is going, if he's going to be able to keep this up. Not because I think anything that he's doing now is fluky, but they're all, it just, at least for me, it always feels like there's that worry that when he misses four shots in a row, that that's the end of this. I'm hesitant to say magical run, but it is still something that's a small sample size. It is a run where we've seen Andrew post these kinds of numbers over this type of stretch. Now, we haven't seen him do it this way, but we've still seen him do it. So I'm really curious if he's going to be able to keep this up, especially as opponents adjust to him. Now, I think opponents adjusting to him will only help out Carl, and then that'll be the balance that other teams have to use. But it's, that's my biggest question.
Yeah, and you also factor in, you know, he had been rolling and playing really well. You've been going through a stretch, and then all of a sudden you don't play for a couple of games. Does that take away some of the momentum that he has had just with the way he was sort of ascending as a player? Does that, you know, temporarily just sort of put that on hold a little bit because he's missed a couple of games and now he's got to sort of hit the reset button, so to speak, and get, you know, get back going again as he, you know, whenever he joins the team?
Well, I mean, if he does not play against Utah tonight, it'll be a whole week in between games for him because they don't play tomorrow. And the last game he played now was last Wednesday against San Antonio. So that's, how do you adjust to having a week off? We saw Carl come out off the suspension. That was just two games. We saw him come off the suspension where he was rusty, and he's still a little rusty.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And Utah's a good team, and they have been good for a couple of years now, and they're 8-4 as of this taping, and you know, so it's gonna be a challenge. I wanted to ask you about where this team is at in the standings as it, you know, relates to everybody else in the West. The Wolves are 7-6, and right now they have the eighth playoff spot. And again, this is so early. We're 13 games into it. There's so much more basketball to play.
It is early, but there's looking like some separation. Like, I'm starting to be able to see a real divide. I can say for sure, right now, the Golden State Warriors are not making the playoffs.
Right.
We know that.
Yep.
The New Orleans Pelicans, I don't think that they're going to be able to crawl back into the playoff picture, sitting in 14th right now. Now, when Zion comes back and he could be a total game changer and they get healthy, maybe. But right
how
now,
far are they going to be behind by
exactly,
that time?
I don't know that it's, they're already three games out of eighth. And I don't know that I am confident in that young team to be able to put it together and go.
Yeah.
The Spurs. Listen, it's really hard for me to rule the Spurs out, but I watched that Spurs team up close on Wednesday, and that Spurs team did not look anything close to a playoff team. Now, if they trade DeMar DeRozan and they start to allow their young guards to play, because they have a lot of nice young pieces, but I don't know. This does not look like a playoff team to me. Watching them
That's
up close, they did
about,
not
yeah.
look like a team that is going to be one of eight in the West. I could be wrong, and it's really early, and this might sound like an overreaction, but after watching that team on Wednesday night, it's hard for me to envision them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at where these teams are record-wise, I think you have to kind of ask yourself, okay, how many of these teams can put together like a 6 or 7 game winning streak?
Well, and this is a Spurs team that started off 3-0, and they've lost 8 out of their last 10 since that start.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I wonder if the Spurs are going to be a team that can do that. I'm not sure. New Orleans, they'll look different when they get Zion back, but are they going to be too far back?
And
too
what's
far
that
back?
Adjustment period going to look
right.
like?
Yeah. And are they going to be too far back in the standings for it to even matter? You know, Memphis,
I was just going up through the list here. Because Memphis is they're at 5-8 along with Portland. Both teams are at 5-8. I would give Portland Memphis is not going to be a playoff team. They don't want to be a playoff team. They're going to, at some point, hit a young team wall.
Yep.
That's going to happen at some point. Portland's interesting because I do think Portland is in this competitive window where they want to find a way. They're going to do everything to find a way into the playoffs. But they need to do something because this team doesn't look right now.
Yeah.
Especially with how good Damian Lillard has been, and they're only 5-8.
I'm really baffled by it because this team was in the Western Conference Finals last year.
So much of their team's been remade.
Sure.
If you think about the pieces on that team that played in the Western Conference Finals last year, I mean, yeah, you have Dame, you have CJ. Obviously, Nurkic is not there. He wasn't there in the Conference Finals either, but
yep.
Evan Turner's gone. I mean, Hassan Whiteside's their big guy right now. They've got Anthony. They've been starting Anthony Tolliver. They just signed Carmelo Anthony. Like, so many of the pieces from that team, like Myers Leonard's in Miami, and they... Mm-hmm. The core, in the sense of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and stuff like that, that stayed intact. But the rest of that team is vastly different than it was.
Enes Kanter's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... But you would think with Dame and CJ being there, it's just
hard
to imagine.
Those guys haven't been the problem, though.
Yeah. It's just hard to imagine. But I guess my question with them is, are they going to be capable of getting themselves back into this?
I don't know that they've ever lost a game in January for like the last 5 years. Like, it just seems like they win every single January game ever. Yeah. So I can't necessarily be like, oh, they're not a playoff team until that stretch is over. But right now it doesn't look great.
Sacramento 5-7.
Sacramento got off to that really bad start, and they've been really good since. They're 5-5 in the last 10. That includes, I think they started 0-5.
Yep.
So they've been, I mean, they're 5-2 over their last 7 games after that start. They've been good. De'Aaron Fox getting healthy, depending on what they look like once they get De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley back, is going to determine whether or not this is a playoff team. They look much better lately, but we're going to have to kind of wait and see on them.
I wonder if part of their early struggles was just sort of an adjustment. And I guess you kind of see that sometimes with an adjustment to a new coach, and I mean, I would imagine they're still playing the same as they did last year.
They're not playing as fast.
Are they not playing as fast?
No, they're not playing as fast because last year they were flying up and down the court, and that's how they were beating teams because they said, and Dave Yeager deserves credit for this, they said, we have one of the fastest guys in the NBA in De'Aaron Fox, and they do. We are going to just let him run by everybody because he's so much faster than the rest of the league. And that's what they did, and it worked to the effect of, 39 wins, which was a great season for them.
Yeah, huge.
They're not playing that same style this year. And that was, I think, a reason for some of their early season struggles.
Oklahoma City is interesting to me because they're not...
Yeah,
I don't know if...
Well, if I had to guess, they're going to trade Danilo Gallinari at some point, who's a big piece of them. If someone wants to take Chris Paul, they can have Chris Paul. I just don't. And that screams Miami. Like, that screams Miami Heat so
that's
much.
That's a lot of money to take on.
Oh, man. I know, but it screams Miami.
Yeah.
So I think that OKC is going to end up selling off because they're just making the playoffs isn't going to do anything.
It's not going to help them, no.
Where they're in kind of stage one of a rebuild and a post-Russ, post-Paul George rebuild. I don't think making the playoffs this year does them any good.
Shea's been playing pretty well for them, though.
Shea's a very good player, very good young player. But I think that it probably serves them better in the long run to be in the lottery this year.
All right, so of the...
And I do think that their pick is protected. If I'm not mistaken, it's lottery protected, I think. So that could be... It might be top 20 protected or something, but I do want to say that pick has a protection on it of some sort.
So it might be in their best interest to not make the playoffs.
Yeah, it is protected 1 through 20.
Okay.
So that's in their best interest to not get rid of it.
So let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say Portland gets it together and they figure it out. Aside from the Wolves, because I would think the Wolves are probably the most likely candidate of the teams that are in to probably fall out if Portland gets it together.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from the Wolves, is Phoenix sort of that next team where you would think might fall out?
Phoenix and Dallas. So here's the
thing.
Luka
is so good, though.
I think Luka right now is a top 10 player in basketball. Luka Doncic
is so fantastic.
I think that he is a future. He has future MVP written all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristaps Porzingis has largely just not been very good to start this season. Who is their third best player? That's the one yeah. question you keep coming back to. They've got some nice ancillary pieces, but I don't know who their third best player is. And unless Kristaps Porzingis starts to play better, which I do think he will, it's too early for me to be like the Dallas Mavericks are a playoff team this year. Just like it's way too early for me to say that about the Wolves, it's too early for me to say that about Phoenix. The other five teams in the playoff picture are playoff teams. The Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I guarantee the Lakers make the playoffs.
Yes, they have LeBron
James. The Houston
Rockets
are also going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
The Denver Nuggets, they're making the playoffs. The Utah Jazz are making the playoffs. And the LA Clippers are making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that there are five teams that I truly believe are making the playoffs. There are three spots left. For those three spots, you've got Phoenix, Dallas, Minnesota, Sacramento, Portland, San Antonio. Now, if I go in that, I think San Antonio is, I'm ready to say San Antonio is a no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like saying that for sure, but if I'm picking,
it's starting to trend that way.
Picking through confidence, yeah. I'm least confident in San Antonio making the playoffs. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
It's wild to think about.
But I'm saying that right now. The team in this grouping that I am least confident can make the playoffs is San Antonio after watching them.
It's wild to think of a team that has DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge could not make the playoffs. But
they have largely not been good when those two have been on the floor too.
That's wow.
Like DeMar DeRozan, when they played here last Wednesday night, it was wild because DeMar had a mostly good game where I want to say he had 25 or 27 points. I mean, everything looked solid for him. He was efficient in his shooting. He was doing kind of what you would expect for DeMar DeRozan to do. And you look at the box score, okay, let's see here. DeMar DeRozan, 33 minutes, 12 of 18, 27 points, minus 15. The scores were outscored by 15 points when he was on the floor. LaMarcus Aldridge, 23 points, 10 of 16 shooting, outscored by 17 points when he was on the floor. Those two have been a problem. They struggle to outscore opponents with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge on the floor, and that's a problem for them.
Is there lack of three-point shooting, at least from a systematic standpoint, is that catching up to them?
I do think it's catching up to them a little bit because, okay, so when the Rockets were here Sunday night, James Harden took, I think he was 8 of 22 from 3. He took 22 three-pointers himself. San Antonio took 17 three-pointers against the Wolves as a team.
Yeah.
And San Antonio has been able to still win the math like that because they've always just been good. Like, yep. They've always been able to play good defense. They've been able to find other ways to score. That's really not the case now. They've got some nice young pieces. But I think that they are a team that would improve if they traded DeMar DeRozan.
They took 18 threes on Saturday in a loss to Portland.
Yeah, that's just who they
five
are.
5 for 18.
I think that they would improve if DeMar DeRozan were traded. I think that they would be a team that is better. And that's not an indictment on who DeMar DeRozan is because he's a fine player, but mm-hmm. it just doesn't fit. There's too much of a thing that does not fit in today's NBA.
I wonder with him, too, like where a good, like in terms of a good team that's at least a playoff team, like where he could go that could be a good fit for him. Because he's not a shooter. I mean, he's going to live in the mid-range and try and get to the paint most of the time.
Well, I think it was the Ringer reported that Orlando has interest in him. I don't know that I love that.
Yeah.
Let Markelle Fultz play. But I don't know. It's interesting. But regardless. So for the sake of this, I'm going to give San Antonio the least amount of confidence to get one of those three spots.
Okay.
Next up, Portland. I think Portland's going to figure it out just by having, I mean, they have an MVP candidate in his prime. Mm-hmm. As long as they stay healthy, I think they figure it out and they find a way in.
Yep.
So that leaves two spots. Sacramento, I'm not confident in. The Wolves, I'm not necessarily confident in. Dallas, Dallas is probably who I'm second most confident in. Despite not necessarily knowing who their third best player is, I think that they have the best player on the board still.
Yeah.
I think Luka is, I think Luka's better than Kat. I think mm-hmm. Luka is the best player that is still on the board.
Yeah.
So that's two spots. Now you're looking for a third spot between Utah, Minnesota, Sacramento. That's who I think it comes down to for the final playoff spot at this point.
You mean Phoenix?
Yeah. You Phoenix, Minnesota.
Because Utah's a lock.
Yeah, my bad on that. They are right next to each other in the standings. I looked at the wrong one.
Yeah, Phoenix is, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of Phoenix. I've just been mainly looking at their box scores. But
Phoenix kind of feels, not necessarily in terms of the way they play, but they have a weird feeling of like Sacramento did last year, where they surprise a lot of people early on so far, and understandably so. I mean, they're the Phoenix Suns.
7-4.
Yeah, but I don't know how long this will keep up. That being said, the reason that they're 7-4 is because we went from seeing a Phoenix team that was just kind of filled out with guys like Dragan Bender and just non-NBA players.
Yep.
They replaced those guys with NBA players. Now, they're like, Aron Baynes is no star, but he is certifiably an NBA player, and they had been missing that. I do think that that matters.
And they actually have a point guard now. I mean, now, Ricky, yes. Ricky is not an all-star point
and
guard.
He's got his warts.
But he's an NBA player. He's an NBA quality point guard. There's some stability at least at that position now. And now, you know, they look good and Devin Booker looks good. And yeah, I'm just really curious as to how long they're going to be able to keep that up though.
So for me, it's basically between Sacramento, Minnesota, Phoenix, and Dallas for two playoff spots. There is a chance this is a playoff team.
That's amazing.
But the Wolves do have some big games that they need to win. They need to start. And they've dealt with probably more adversity than most teams have this time of year because they had a suspension to their best player. Their second best player has missed now two games, looking like he's probably going to miss a third as he's doubtful for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So those things matter. But they're 7-6, and this is a team that – and partly because earlier this year we thought, man, you might win 48 games and not make the playoffs in the West, where now 44, 45 games is going to get you in the Western Conference playoff picture, which is not something that any of us thought early on. But they have a little bit of a soft stretch coming up. But they have an opportunity here to really assert themselves as a potential playoff team, depending on how they really – between now and December 6th, they have a lot of winnable games.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, when Andrew comes back, whenever that may be. We talked about already about just this great stretch of basketball that he's been playing. It'll be interesting to see how much of that continues. Because I think if this team is going to get that eighth spot, perhaps, that we're going to have to see. May not necessarily need to see Andrew averaging 30 points a game like he has the last handful of games, but I think the good play from him absolutely has to continue. And well, you would have to hope, you know, a guy like Jared Culver continues to
improve
yeah. and get better.
So here is late this summer, before the season started, Dane and I, on an episode of Raised by Wolves, we kind of essentially talked like, what's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? What's most likely to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I said the best case scenario is probably them still falling short of a playoff, but for them to make the playoffs, and this was when I thought that the West would be better. I thought Golden State was going to miss the playoffs, but I didn't think that they'd be 2-12 bad.
Right.
I said that I thought Andrew Wiggins needed to be in the running for most improved player in the NBA. And I said I didn't expect that to happen, but that's the formula, and that is what he is right now. Right now, he is the most improved player in basketball.
Yeah. By far.
That's what the formula has to be. So he does have to continue to be this guy. Now, they're not going to win a ton of games because of him. They've won four already, but you can't expect him to be the reason you win every night. But if he keeps playing the way he has been playing, then you have a chance. You've given yourself a chance.
I said it on Write That Down on Mackie and Judd on Friday that he would win Most Improved Player. So I wrote it down.
That's what it has to be for them to make the playoffs come close to making the playoffs. He needs to be in that discussion.
Yeah, and obviously Cat needs to continue to play well and everything too. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really fascinating to watch over the next couple of weeks when Andrew gets back and to see if that great play that we saw over the last handful of games from him continues, and they're going to need it to continue in order for this team to have a shot. At least, I'm glad at least that playoffs is at least in the conversation now with this team.
It is.
It's nice. I mean, I'm totally fine with them not making the playoffs if that's the case, but the fact that they're in that conversation, I think, shows that they're at least headed in the right direction, so that's good. So
it's, you know, Manny, I expected this to be like, to put it in PJ Fleck terms, year zero.
Yeah.
Right? That's what PJ said when he arrived. It was year zero. And then the following year is year one, and now he's in year two, even though it's actually his third year on the job.
Right, yeah.
I expected this to be kind of like a year zero, where this is like the basement floor. They're going to improve. They're going to get better. They're going to grow. But this is going to be the start, and I didn't expect much. And I still think that this is year zero or whatever we're going to term it. But they're building the basement much higher than I thought that it would be.
Yeah.
And they deserve credit for that.
And I like the fact that they have not gone away from what they want to be, as you know, particularly on the offensive side. Like I like that they have not wavered away from, you know, even after that 6-for-45 performance last week. I like that they have not gone away from that and tried to, you know, try to change who they were, even though they don't have the right personnel to really play this style. But I like that they're sticking to it because, I mean, long term for this franchise, this is the right way for them to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's that. Interesting game tonight. We'll see. We'll see what happens in Utah, and then Utah comes here on Wednesday because why not just have them play twice in a week?
it's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Why not?
It's Utah's always a house of horrors too for the Wolves. It's
Utah's a house of horrors for everybody.
Everybody.
It's that's
especially Russell Westbrook.
That is one of the toughest places to play in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's Raised by Wolves. You can find Manny on Twitter at MannyHill84. You can find myself on Twitter at RealDCunningham. We will be talking to you later this week, hopefully having an episode with a couple of different guests on Wednesday or Thursday. And then Dane Moore will join me on Thursday as we talk about the latest with the Minnesota Timberwolves. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to stuff, we're there. Or you can download the all-new Score North mobile app available for Apple and Android devices. Be sure to check that out and give us a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind. We'd really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time.